good to me. Live from the Twin Cities, we are the Daves. You know, this is the Daves.
You want me to be that type of dude, and I want to be who you like me to. But we both know I can't do nothing at all.
Welcome to episode 311 of Dave's I Know podcast. I think we might call this one the rat episode.
Yeah.
just based on some conversations we're having pre-taping here. So we have a couple of people with me today. We have from the Minnesota Football Show, Eric Silver-Benneman. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, yeah, I am. It's good. It's close to end of trimester, so everything's freaking due. But then I got a week break. I'm going to Georgia, so looking forward to that.
Nice. Yeah, I think we're going to Georgia this summer, right around when the U.S. is playing. So I hope we're going to catch the Copa match and down in Megatron's butthole. So,
I'm just missing the timing. I have to be back. But I know that weekend of like whatever it is, May 4th, that they're going to, the Loons are going to play in Megatron's butthole.
Yeah, yeah, May 4th.
Yeah, my flight comes back on that Wednesday, so timing.
Damn.
Yeah.
And we also have from the Minnesota Football Show and from Northwind Soccer Journal, Bridget McDowell. Bridget, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, back in my own vehicle, and I think most people who follow me have heard some variation of that story. So
yeah.
That nightmare is over, and we're moving on. Rehabbing and trying to get back into the swing of covering soccer nonstop, because once May hits in June,
that
boom.
Yep, you're 100% correct. So yeah, let's dive into that soccer. The aforementioned soccer, Minnesota United played over the weekend. And unfortunately, lost 2-1 to the Houston Dynamo. That's the first game in, I believe, 9 that Minnesota has lost against the Dynamo. They were nine straight without a loss. And the first time Houston's beaten Minnesota at home, as a matter of fact, as well. So not a great look for our Loons. What either of you guys have any sort of overall thoughts on the game? And then we can kind of dive into a few of the specific important plays.
I'll let Bridget go.
I mean, it's all the same issues that come back to bite them every game, right? Like, if you can't finish a shot or find the net, the goalpost is not your friend unless you're on the other end of the field. You know, kind of like some other teams that we all watch together.
Are you referencing our favorite Liverpool and their inability to score goals? Yeah,
it's been a rough week or so for you Liverpudlians.
Yeah, it Dude, has.
I had Liverpool lost twice. Minnesota United
St. Pauli
lost 4-3. It was a really bad week, like 4-day stretch. Eric, I was very much in my feelings on Sunday afternoon.
I'm not licensed yet, man, but I can still hold you. I can still take
hey, you. You should, if you're free tomorrow afternoon, come watch us cry at the bar.
It'll be a therapy session at the Black Heart, yeah, Thursday afternoon. So
I'll see if I can write it off for my practicum.
Yeah.
There you go. And we'll do it again next week. So.
Yep. Against Everton on Wednesday. So.
Yep.
Listeners, feel free to, if you want to watch David and Bridget cry, please come to the Black Heart on.
Yeah. Come on tomorrow, the Black Heart.
Today, if you listen to this podcast, or on Wednesday the 24th, you'll watch. You can see Bridget and David cry.
Yep.
Sorry, Bridget.
Yeah. I mean, shoot the ball into the net. I mean, in terms of like shape and just like general effort from each player, it wasn't that bad. Like, we've seen plenty worse, and 2-1 is a relatively acceptable, if there is an acceptable losing score, it's a 2-1. We've seen plenty of them before where you see some promise in there. And I mean, a 2-1 loss when you're working with a brand new coach and a bunch of other,
none of your starting left side of your issues. Defense.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. When two of your guys are like 20 and have never played in those positions in a professional setting. Yeah, I mean, it could have been a heck of a lot worse considering what Houston is working with. So,
and the other team found out very quickly.
And they knew exactly where those problems would be. So it sucks, but like, also it's still April, and I know going straight to the top of the table and then kind of slowly working your way back down sucks, but like, it's April. We're what, 8 games in? 7? Yep. 8? I don't know anymore. So I mean, there's plenty of positives in there for me, so kind of excited to see how they look against Charlotte, just to get a completely different looking game in front of them, right? See what happens. But
yeah,
I just remember not being very entertained in this match, and I was sitting by myself with a on fire, and there were multiple moments where I had the game on, not very much volume, had the fire, and I start staring at the fire, and I look back at the game, and like 15 minutes had passed. I'm like, oh, how'd that happen?
Yep. One shot after another. You know, it's bad when the commentators start to sound like they're not really into it anymore.
Right.
Like, Kendra and Terrence are like just giving each other jibes back and forth. And it's like, all right, well, I'll just sit here and watch this happen. You know?
Mm-hmm. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It was one of those games where there was very few things that were exciting. And unfortunately, all the exciting things went basically against us. And there was lots of
beautiful goals.
Yes.
Well, there was one beautiful goal.
One beautiful goal
from the other team.
Yeah. Houston just flopping around like fishes and wasting time, and Steve Clark, you know, taking off his gloves to tie his shoe with his shitty ass rat tail that he had. Right. Yeah. So that's how I feel about the game. Let's jump into a couple of things. I mean, I think the one thing first, you know, really only two highlights from the first half, and both of them were good for Houston. 34th minute. Pookie does a really good press. Ball is, you know, he tries to make a pass to Michael or Michelle. Will Trapp springs a trap, as it were, steals the ball, shoots right, basically straight back at Steve Clark. Clark makes a great save, and then Trapp doesn't do enough to follow his finish. And Ethan Bartlow comes back for Houston with an absolutely amazing goal line clearance. They didn't VAR this one, but looking at the replay, it looks like he definitely got it before. It cleared the line. So, that was a great. We talk about Minnesota United has started slow the last couple of games, last few games actually. Somehow seemed to turn it on in the second half. Same thing this year with this game too. I mean, they started very, very slow. Houston had, you know, the majority of the chances of possession early on. You know, they eventually figured it out and made the changes and everything, but. Man, if they scored this goal in the 34th minute, this might be a completely different game. Mm-hmm. And then, as I mentioned, you know, we can talk about we can maybe combine them. 4 minutes later, Houston has a corner. It's an own goal off of Alejandro Brown, who started for Hassani Dotson, who came off gingerly in the last game, 45 minutes in. So, a 4 minute, you know, 4 minutes really just completely changes the pendulum swing of who had momentum and everything. So
who was the Houston striker that was airborne Superman diving header though? Cause I mean, give that dude credit. I think if it's not an own goal, he's going to connect with that thing. Like, I feel like one way or the other, it's
going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Was that Karaskia? Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was so. Karaskia. Yeah. 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 I mean, Brent, it was definitely not like a, hey, I'm an idiot and just kicked it into my own net. It was definitely, he was tracking a runner. A little unfortunate that it goes off of him and goes into the net, yeah. But that's what, I mean, that's kind of what you want from a corner, you know. You want to create confusion and chaos, and
right.
The ball goes in the back of the net, it's a fucking goal. It doesn't matter if it goes in off of your guy or their guy, as long as it doesn't go off of somebody's arm, right? So, you know,
it's supposed to just bounce into the net, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Let's, did you guys know that two games in a row you can sub a guy out at halftime? It's crazy. So I mean the first time, yeah, it's for the injury, and credit to Ramsey for, you know, taking things carefully when he can, because he has plenty of wingers on the bench, right?
Right.
But to then turn around and do the same with Brandt, bring him out and replace him with Dotson, conversely, because there was definitely some frustration from him after that, and which is understandable, right? But he wasn't, like, in the minutes following that, he didn't really bounce back very well, and he just wasn't, I don't think he looked that great before that either. And I think it was nice that Ramsey's willing to, like, try something and then throw somebody else in there and be like, okay, that didn't quite work, let's tweak something else.
So you don't think that was a planned substitution, you know, put Dotson on at the 45th minute? You thought that was a reaction sub?
I mean, it could have been a plan to put him in. I didn't expect it to be for Brandt. I figured he'd come in, you know, maybe just go to supplement the defense, maybe, considering the youth on the back line. Tweak the attack a little bit, but
I guess I just assumed it was like going to be a pre-planned sort of halftime swap, but maybe it wasn't.
I mean, and it could have been that it wasn't a reflection on that at all, but I don't know, he just looked like so dejected in general, and maybe that was because it was a pre-planned thing, and that's how he ended his
game, you know, 5 minutes before halftime with a own goal. Yeah, no, maybe that's, it could be. Okay, cool. I just assumed it was a pre-planned, you know, we're gonna like give Dotson only 45 minutes and see how, you know, but
yeah,
it seems weird if he was hurt, if he didn't start, that he would go the second 45. You think you give him 45 and see how he's doing. And then pull him if you need to at halftime. Maybe Ramsey was frustrated, or they were seeing something. I mean, I don't think, outside of that, I don't think Brad had a particularly terrible first half. He was pretty much, he was pretty, I don't remember anything he did. So other than the own goal,
he was kind of neutralized just on that side, because Houston wasn't really using that side anyway. I mean, and we feel that way about Dotson sometimes too. Like, he just doesn't end up in that role.
Well, one other thing though is that I know, I mean, Houston was doing a good job of pressing. They weren't mm-hmm. like just pressing the entire time, but like choosing their spots. And it did seem like whenever Brand got the ball, that is when they would activate their press, right? Brand's not a great, he doesn't seem to be a great passer of the ball. Dotson is obviously a lot more dynamic and can actually hit a long ball. So, you know, you can alleviate some of the pressure. And clearly in the second half, the Houston was not pressing as much. Obviously, you're more tired as the game goes on, so you're not going to press maybe as hard. But also having Dotson in there probably helps unlock some of the things that will alleviate the pressure.
That's a good point with the long balls, because he definitely prefers like the shorter passes in midfield, which you need sometimes. Sometimes we do need that in the midfield. But Dotson was able to kind of help them get around that. Yeah.
Right.
Because they just couldn't buy their way through midfield otherwise. So. And I know there were some tweets as usual about, you know, Paddleford looking bad.
Paddleford
not looking. That, are we doing Paddleford?
That's what his name is.
I know, Well,
he said that's what his name is.
Did he? Okay. So I'm 99% sure. Say it.
Yeah. Okay. It's stupid. It's stupid and wrong, but that's what his name is. So. Yeah.
Cause I've been reading it that way the entire time. And I mean,
yeah,
I don't assume that the broadcast has it correctly. So.
Yeah. People, if they want their names to be pronounced stupidly, that's totally on them. And we should respect their stupid decisions. So.
Penelford it is. So yeah, I know people were, you know, between him and Bacharach saying like, oh, they didn't look great. Well, of course they don't look great. Like they're not your starters. They're not supposed to be in there, ideally. But if you need somebody in there, you're going to use the two guys who have actually played those positions in the past. And Penelford has played that role more than I think he gets credit for. Like that was his original position before college made him a field player, like midfielder. But I just kept thinking about how we were saying the same thing. And I mean, it didn't end the same way that it began, but like Gasper and Dotson going in 2019, being those guys who, you know, were the young rookies who got thrown in there and everyone's like, what the hell are we doing? And then they're part of the big run to the playoffs, right? So I think it's good to get those guys in there now. Kind of like getting these losses out of the way now, you know, work out some of the kinks, see what they can do with the other guys and how they respond. And I think they've done that pretty well. Like just Bacharach's interview afterwards where he's just like, yeah, everyone was really helping me out. We, you know, we figured it out. We didn't do great, but we figured it out. And so I think there's, obviously it wasn't ideal, but I think it was a good way for them to kind of get their feet wet, so to speak, in that back line. Yeah. Rather do it now than in, you know, August. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eric, what are you have any other thoughts from that sort of that first half or either though that goal on clearance or the Houston goal?
Yeah. I mean, just the Houston goal was like the big thing, I guess. You guys kind of covered it. We can move on.
Okay.
Eric's like the bonfire was nice.
The bonfire was nice at that point. So
it was more entertaining. Yes.
Yeah. So as we kind of alluded to, Dotson comes on at halftime, and the game is, you know, completely, I would say almost completely changes. Minnesota was on the front foot. They actually ended up getting more, you know, winning the possession battle. Considering the Dynamo came into this game, I think they were averaging about 60% possession. I think the Loons got about 60% possession. So, you know, clearly whatever the game plan was, it was much better executed in the second half than it was in the first half. I'm assuming that the manager's game plan wasn't go out and suck in the first half and then be good in the second half. I'm assuming it was some variation thereof. So, clearly the players decided to do it. Pressing when the other team's pressing it obviously as the game goes on, you get more tired legs. It's easier. Dotson comes in and creates things. And then I think Fragapane comes on in what the 62nd minute, 63rd minute, something like that. And then he scores in the 70th minute. You know, we talk about trap and we'll talk about trap here in a second too. Trap giveth and trap taketh away. This time he giveth, with a great ball to Lude. And then Lude to Fraga finishes. Not like the greatest finish in the world, but listen, you know, the Wonderwall erupts. Minnesota looks, they've been looking on the front foot. They've been looking good. And we're all tied up 1-1.
Yeah, it was a nice team goal. It was cool to see develop from Trap and those quick passes. I mean, 4 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. It was cool. It was a nice goal.
Yeah. And like I said,
it was Fraga.
Yeah, even if it's
Fraga.
He's actually played pretty well this year so far. I mean, I think he was definitely not on my list of people that I was expecting to play well. It's like, well, if we get some decent minutes out of him, great. But
yeah,
I think he's exceeding my expectation.
Kind of in a super sub role, which, okay,
that's,
whatever.
I was going to say, like, I think I like him better as a sub, like, in terms of what he can contribute. Because when he comes in fresh, like, it doesn't always work early in the game because they're still kind of feeling things out, but
yeah.
he can come in fresh and just mix it up a little bit. And I think a lot of defenses just don't really know what to do with him because he's either he might be on the wing, he might be holding back, and especially when Dotson's in there too. So
he might be on he might be on the complete opposite wing for some fucking reason, standing over there.
I mean he might be
standing on the right.
He might be playing right fullback at some point just for the hell of it. But Houston was like, who the hell is this dude? Who's going to mark him? We don't know where he's playing.
Not really a guy you can man mark. Yeah.
So when you're playing a team like Houston, I mean, you need a frog off the bench.
Right on. Well, Loons can't hold on. 77th minute, but less than 8 minutes later, Trapp just gets absolutely bodied off of a ball at midfield. Houston picks it up. They pass to Kowalczyk, who basically wrong foot's Bacharach, gets Bacharach spinning around. It's an individual duel that he unfortunately loses. Kowalczyk with a shot from about 20 yards out, so just outside the 18. Absolutely stunning goal. Not much that Dane can do at that one. And that is the second Dynamo goal, and that is how the game ends, 2-1, in spite of some really frenetic soccer at the very end. Rat Tail was standing on his head, and the post, the aforementioned post that Bridget brought up, not our friend. Adebayo Smith had a shot that was kept out by Stephen Clark. Fraga, another one, like a overhead scissor kick kind of thing that hit the post. I think Clark got a little bit on it, but it hits the post as well. Caden Clark had one. So that's how the game ends. Minnesota loses 2-1. This is, again, they've lost more games at home in the last 2 years. They've lost as many games at home the last years as they've won. Is that the stat I saw somewhere? It's not a great stat. So how did you guys? There are lots of draws, not a ton of wins. They've won 5 games in the last, basically since beginning of last year at home. And they have 5 losses. So either anything else from either of you guys on sort of the end of that game, either the goal from the Loons or that Dynamo goal.
I will just say I was giving some crap to my friend in Houston, Tarby, who sometimes listens to us. So hey. I texted her after the time wasting thing and I said, really, does Clark not have a friend here who will tie his fucking shoes for him? And she's like, oh, I'm not even watching the game. I was like, okay, well, you can just skip to you can just skip to the 85th minute. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And also cut his hair. But yeah, that was weird. That was really freaking weird. I don't know.
It's been a strange thing too. It seems like goalies come to Minnesota and they just play out of their goddamn minds against us. I don't understand.
At least he did not make team of the week though.
That's true.
And everyone, including quite a few Loons fans, were like, what about Steve Clark? Because that's how it goes.
Yeah. Barlow and Ben Olson made the team of the week for MLS from Houston. I don't know. Yeah. Eric, any other thoughts on this match or?
Nah, it was what it was. I think again, like Bridget said earlier, I'm going to repeat it. But it's early in the season, and it's a very. I appreciate your glass half full, Bridget. So I'm going to keep it going and say that get it out now safe. That's right. Get it out now so that in the summer into the fall, they're more consistent.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I'll be the first to redneck that when we get to like August and September.
So I guess that brings us kind of like to the ultimate question is you know, why does the team start so slow? What do you think can be done about that? Is it time to mix up the starting 11? I think it's going to happen, or it has to happen, because as we mentioned last week, Sungmin Jeong is in Qatar right now, playing for the U23 South Korean team in their Olympic qualifying tournament. So we're going to have
time zones and flying that guy does. That's incredible.
Anybody who plays in the AFC, I think, or that matter, AFCON too. There's a
right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Songbin has been starting on the left and Bongi on the right the last couple of matches. Bongi seemed to do much better when he was on the left last year. So, I mean, is this a matter of just trying to get all of your, you know, attacking pieces on the pitch at the same time? I mean, imagine that's what Eric Ramsey's trying to do. So I guess I could very much easily see Bongi moving over to the right and then either Caden Clark getting another start again, or, I mean, we talked about Fragapane earlier.
Yeah,
he's, you know, he's played pretty well in his cameos. Is it you know, is it an opportunity for him to get a start? So I don't know. What do you guys think on that? That slow start and then kind of what we see as the potential starting 11 here.
It's hard to say because go ahead, Bridget. You go first.
Caden Clark is just as much can be just as much of the super sub role as Fragapane can be, and probably even more. He can bring a little bit more speed and really throw things off, especially if you know
he's been like Songbin Jeong though, where he's very frustrating because like he does a lot of good things, and then the one thing you need him to do, which is like score. He just doesn't do like he doesn't
misses the sitter, doesn't take the pass I think that'll come with time. He needs some minutes. We were saying the same thing about Songbin last year and that's improved quite a bit. So I think at this point it's more like Ramsey trying to get a larger sample size out of some of these guys who've been sitting on the bench for a while. And I think the 4-3-3 also kind of helps him see that. It also doesn't really hurt for him to not have Reynoso around to lean on, where you have to rotate some of these guys through and see where they really land and where they can mesh and play. I think we could see, I could see it going either way with rotation up front. I mean, there have been a couple games where Songbin came in later and did really well. There's been at least one game where when he wasn't playing, I had kind of forgotten about him and I wasn't thinking like, damn, where is Songbin right now? And I now cannot remember which game that was, but, that might've been one of Clark's better nights is maybe why I didn't miss him, but,
right.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard to say. Is it the new coaching staff? Is it just some of the newer guys coming in? Is it guys dealing with, you know, having slightly different roles on the team now? I think there's just a lot of factors, and I think this just proves that, you know, you don't really need to go throw a bunch of new names in there right at the beginning of the season. If the guys that you've been playing with need a little extra time to figure things out together in the beginning of the season, throwing a bunch of new guys in there, no matter their quality, isn't necessarily going to fix it. So Ramsey has plenty to work with, I think, to fill in those gaps. Hopefully you're not dealing with the Songbin absence on top of a Tapias unavailable. Looks like Arriaga should be coming back, so that'll help in midfield.
Yeah. I saw Tapias and Bacharach didn't train. Was it yesterday maybe? But they trained on Monday, but I think Tapias picked up a knock. I think they're not saying Tapias how training, serious it was.
Yeah, he was training with the second team, I think, over the weekend.
Okay.
So he's further out. He's further out than anyone else. Arriaga should be back though.
Bridget kind of set up you set up a nice segue. Zeller, do you want to drop down one to talk about the Argentino?
Yeah, I certainly can. Is there anything on that particular topic though, Eric? You know that who you want to see in the front line or anything like that? Changes to the 11.
The other thing I was thinking about was how well they were doing those first couple matches, but that's because, I mean, Songbin was key in those early matches too. Yeah. So I really don't have a lot to add. I don't, whatever Bridget said is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, those first couple games, I think the highlights were actually Clark and Songbin, and
right.
Clark going to hit that again? in seeing Ben's absence, or was that kind of them riding on a high coming off a preseason and, you know, riding into the excitement?
Yeah. Well, Eric alluded to it. Bridget kind of brought it up. Reynoso, that's the gigantic elephant in the room. We talked a little bit about it last week.
The gigantic mate.
Yeah. We don't have any more information specifically on him. I mean, I think I've read in a quote or a piece and a nugget from maybe it was Greeter's game recap column where he said that there's a possibility he could be back this weekend. But the question is, I mean, if he does come back, is he fit or whatever? Obviously, I don't think he's going to be playing this weekend, but I guess there's a non-zero possibility he could be in the 18 if he's been practicing and stuff. But I think the big thing that came up this week, actually, like I said, a piece from Andy Greeter, I believe it was today, Michael Boxall had a quote, and I was reading the quote because I think it's you know, pretty illuminating. So
yeah.
He said, quote, "I think we've all kind of moved on. I don't even know if anyone actually knows what the situation is. I think he's made decisions that kind of shows everyone around here he doesn't care too much about the club. So at some point you have to take him at face value. I know the owners have invested a lot into the guy, so they need to do what is in their best interest. But in terms of us on the playing field, we just got to move on as if he's not here because he hasn't been for a long time."
That says it all right there.
Yeah,
it's been like this for 2 years. I mean, we talked about it on and Minnesota Football Show too. I mean, he doesn't want to be here. Let's just be real. Since the assault thing, but then just taking his time and not coming to training. And then I'm sure his agent is just nonstop on the phone. They're trying to make deals with Vasco now 2 years in a row too. So, I mean, it's just like, he doesn't want to be here. Why push it?
Yeah. And I mean, Boxy had a very similar quote last year. They were all being a bit more diplomatic, obviously, because no one really knew exactly what the situation was, including the club. So they were pretty tight-lipped on it last year, but you know, he said something similar where it's like, yeah, it's up to him to show the rest of us that he wants to be here as much as all these other guys. All these other guys, including the kids, have shown up and put in the effort. And even if he's been working while he's been away from the squad, which maybe, I don't know, a guy of his caliber is training no matter what, but you also don't know does he care anymore? I don't know. He could just as well be sitting by a pool drinking beer right now. So, I mean, do you trust him to come into the squad? I mean, it took a while last time around, right? And that was, he came in and made apology videos and talked to all of his teammates and did the whole apology tour right away and still had trouble. Like, people weren't going to pass on the ball just because he was there.
Yeah. Well, there's so many new faces now too. It's like, he almost has to completely and rebuild all the rapport like once again. Yeah.
And in that 30 minutes that he did play this season, it wasn't the same lineup, the same tactics, the same faces. He got frustrated in those 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If that's how impatient you're going to be now, if you come back, regardless of what the situation is, and you come in and that's, you're going to keep acting that way, what's the point? So, I mean, Ramsey, I think he has a better chance now with the new coaching staff, and it's kind of a clean slate. Like Ramsey even said, everybody's pretty much got a clean slate now. We're all just, you know, building trust with each other. But Ramsey also knows just as well the history of this guy and probably knows that, you know, it's kind of a risk that you're going to choose to deal with the guy who they've invested money in. Or
Ramsey's dealt with divas. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was on that Manchester United team. So he saw how Ten Hag dealt with that. And Ten Hag basically said, you know, fuck you. We'll get rid of you. So, I mean, I can't imagine he has much sympathy. I mean, or much patience with Reynoso.
Right. And anytime he's asked about it, he's like, my focus is on the guys who are here.
And that's the right answer. Even,
like, until the guy shows up in front of him and, like, you know, walks up and introduces himself and apologizes, I don't think Ramsey's even going to give it a second thought. So,
yeah.
And also, like, sorry, where'd you go ahead and finish that?
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, like, if this is clearly what he wants, in my opinion, and there's a demand, so, like, why not get something out of it now rather than keep waiting as his value kind of starts to go down, right? If he wants to play in Primera División Argentina or Brasileiro, whatever, great.
Like, are those teams still really coming after him now with all of this that's happening?
I was just going to say, is there...
That's a good question.
Is there a demand?
Is anyone on the market for a guy who has it, who won't commit to the team he's at and won't show up at training?
Is there a demand? We've been trying to have this conversation when watching the, European stuff over the last week or so. It's like, so number one, is there a demand still? I mean, I'm sure there's a demand for the player, right? Like, he's a really talented player. And then what is the value?
Could still use him.
Right. But... And what is the value? Right. Like, what are you going to get for him? So, like, I mentioned this a little bit last week, and then, we talked about some of the new roster rules that are going to be coming into play at some point this summer, increases the number of buyouts. So you could, and so let's all remember, like, here's some of the facts, right? He's making like $2.1 million a year. The transfer fee was $5 million. So ideally, Minnesota would like to get as close to $5 million as they can. I don't think anybody thinks they'll get $5 million. Hell, if they get $1 million, I think they would sell them in a fucking heartbeat.
That's right.
So, but that's selling him abroad, right? And that is money that they can use for lots of different things. The other option is, within MLS, right? But who within, to the point that I was mentioning earlier, who within MLS is going to take him, right? So no one. And even if they did, the best you maybe get for him is like maybe $1 million in GAM, which is like money that you can only use for certain things. So like the question is like, where, like, is there value? What makes the most sense? Is it waiting to try and, to transfer him somewhere? Obviously, you're not going to probably get him out until the summer. So is it basically say, just fucking stay in Argentina until the summer? Or is it, no, come back here and train, but we're not going to play you until the summer. So the primary transfer window. So this is just a couple of dates for people to think about. Then Bridget or Eric, you guys can talk. When the primary transfer window is open until a week from yesterday, basically. So if they want to do anything within MLS with either him or bring a player in to take over his role, they only have the two DPs, so they could bring in a DP if they really wanted to, if they could find somebody who's available to come in now. That would pretty much only be within MLS, right? The summer transfer window opens on July 18th. Again, that is to bring in players from anywhere, but also to within MLS, and that closes August 14th. The Loons could sell him abroad, in May, right? As soon as the transfer window opens in Europe and South America, or if, I'm assuming it opens around the same time as it does in Europe. Eric, correct me if I'm wrong there, but so they could sell him earlier than that. They don't have to keep him until July. They could sell him, in May, and then he'll be gone. But they can't bring anybody in until July 18th. So if you sell him, in May, you have a 2 month gap there, basically, where you're not going to have a DP and you don't have anybody to take a spot. So those are kind of some of the parameters and everything. And so I'll let you guys talk a little bit more about what you might consider doing with Reynoso, like buy him out, try and find somebody to take him, whatever.
I joked with Wes at some point that it's like, Demidov situation, except there has not been.
Oh, man. What a great throwback. I just haven't thought of that name in so long.
This is what you're missing, not on Twitter. So I said, it's starting to feel a lot like Demidov. This was probably, it feels like it was longer ago. It was probably last week when we first started rehashing all of this again, when they said he missed the appointment. All we're missing is, the photo of him on a hammock on the beach with the beer, like chilling through the rest of his contract. I think Minnesota's learned their lesson not to handle it that way. And Reynoso may just solve that question for them, where he's like, no, I'm just going to stay in Argentina and try to get another club to pick me up. Maybe it's part of his plan. I don't know.
I guess
doesn't matter. Like, if you can't sell him until July, doesn't matter. No, not if he's gonna not train or not show up or not commit when he is on the field. Does Ramsey even want to mess with that? If he's not, if you're not 120% committed while you're here, it doesn't freaking matter when you go. Like, we'll take the gap.
Right.
It's been a 2 month gap as it is.
Yeah, I guess there's one thing I didn't think of, I just thought about or been thinking about, but it's like I forgot to mention, is that theoretically, I mean, there's a possibility that MLS could just void his contract. That's obviously not going to get Minnesota anything back in terms of transfer fees or whatever, but it would avoid
the replacement situation.
Yes, and it would then, you know, the team would avoid having to pay, you know, pay out the rest of his contract or whatever. If I'm assuming that he's breached his contract, so. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know if they would take that. I mean, I'm sure the Players Association would fight that, and so they might be opening themselves up for something else. I'm not sure it's a completely viable option, but I think it is an option as well, as in addition to the buyout or transferring him somewhere.
Because I last year, 1.0, there had been, obviously we don't know the details of his contract, but there had been some reliable word that there was definitely a breach at that point, and that was part of why they were able to get him back when they did. But I don't know specifically what that is or what the actual terms, how the league actually handles that, because we haven't seen too many of these, right? Like, where the guy just doesn't show up. I mean, there have been a few where, you know, contracts have been voided because of like behavior issues or something like that, other legal ramifications. Not exactly the case in this situation, obviously. So,
yeah,
it's weird, and I think they probably have to tread carefully because it is weird and it could set a precedent. And for sure, I'm sure the Players Association is kind of watching this too and being like, we all think that he doesn't want to be here, and that's fine. But also, like, how is this going to affect us somewhere down the road, contract-wise?
Right. Eric, any final words on Reynoso? We'll move on.
I don't know about Reynoso, but I wanted to answer your question, and I have the answer. So transfer window in CONMEBOL, it's a little – it varies between the different countries, but the earliest looks like June 9th, and then it runs until the latest is September 2nd. So kind of a big window, depending on the country.
I think that pretty much lines up with Europe, most of Europe too. So, okay, cool. All right, well, the Reynoso-less Minnesota United will be heading to the Clit on Sunday at 5 p.m., taking on Charlotte for the first time in that 35,000 seat football stadium. So, they played pretty well at home. Dean Smith, if you are a EPL fan, Dean Smith is a name that might sound familiar. He is the manager of Charlotte. On the hot seat right now. FC Cincinnati, like first 3 years, wooden spoon bad, but they have not been a particularly great team either. So I think it's a good opportunity for Minnesota to get a big away win. They've clearly been better on the road than they have been at home. So maybe this is just what they need. So get off the schneid. Cool. All right. So just a couple of quick, MLS match rules that Loons could have used on Saturday. I think we talked about this like when they were announced. These were rules that were put into place in the MLS Next Pro last year that got sort of super high marks in terms of their implementation. So first, the big one, off-field treatment rule. Basically, if you are on the ground for more than 15 seconds, the referee is supposed to stop play, wave the medical crew on, and then players are moved from the game and remains off the field for at least 2 minutes. So basically the idea is to get them off, assuming, you know, it's not someone, a broken leg or someone has cardiac arrest or whatever, but get them off the field as soon as possible, and then fall off the field for at least 2 minutes. And then the other kind of big one that will look interesting for most MLS fans is the time substitution rule. This basically is once the board goes up with a number, you have 10 seconds to get off the pitch. You can get off the pitch on any sideline, any end line, but you have to 10 seconds to get off. Failure to get off in 10 seconds means that you basically forfeit the incoming player for at least a 60-second holding period, and enters the game at the next stoppage. So you're causing yourself to go down a man for at least 60 seconds and possibly more time. So
is that standard? Is that in other leagues?
I don't believe in any of the major leagues are using it. They tested with MLS Next Pro last year. The exceptions to this rule our injury and then a goalkeeper. Goalkeeper substitutions aren't, goalkeepers don't have to get off that fast, as well as injured players as well. So I don't know if there is, Bridget, do you know anybody?
I don't think so, no. But I think it's essentially one hopeful thing that could fight some of that time wasting.
Yeah.
And especially in games. So it's,
I like it. I'm just curious if anybody else is doing it.
It's going to be weird, like, earlier in a game. Like, it makes more sense. You obviously want to see something like this, like, in the second half. You know, like, if you're down 2-1 at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see how well it's implemented, because, I mean, right, there's plenty of rules that are not fully...
Steve Clark and all the time wasting he was doing on Saturday. And then finally... The third one, so one of the other one big ones is that they would keep the clock running at the end of halves and at the end of the game. That was implemented right away at the beginning of the season. The other one that they are going to implement starting this week, VAR decisions are going to be explained and announced by the referee to fans in stadium as well. So it'll also be on the broadcast. So we actually, instead of just getting a VAR check and nothing, and then just, you know, hand up or point to the spot or whatever, the referee is going to actually explain the decisions. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm curious. I think if these are all three are good for the MLS product. So
yeah, it's good to see the league taking some of that seriously and not just throwing some random weird rules into the mix, but things that they've kind of, like, it might feel kind of random at first, but we've seen plenty worse. Yeah. So.
And like I said, the off-field treatment rule and the time substitution rule were stuff that was implemented last year in MLS Next Pro and got pretty good results. The VAR thing is something that I think it just makes a lot of sense to try and take some of the confusion away. So, okay, we're almost done. We have a couple more things. Minneapolis City, just to mention again, if you're listening to this podcast, it is tonight, Thursday, Corner Bar. Minneapolis City is hosting a sort of meet and greet with Carl Craig and some former players. I think there's a little program that starts at 6 and goes till 7. And then there's a happy hour, I think, that starts at, 7. Carl Craig will be there. I think there's some of the older, Minneapolis City players will be there. A chance to talk to other city folks. I'm guessing you probably can pick up your membership scarf, I would imagine. I imagine they'll have the merch and stuff there. So, cool. Check it out. I'll hopefully be there at least for the program. I know, Bridget, you're trying to get there, or have you decided?
It might not happen because I remembered I have other things I have to do between those two and will not make it back out that direction. So
right on. So Corner Bar is over in Seven Corners over by the University of Minnesota West Bank. So right on the light rail too. So check it out. And then Eric, you got some we got some world soccer stuff to talk about. We don't talk about it as much anymore, so lay it on us, brother.
Some stuff in here. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Champions League, we are down to the semifinal. It's a tasty one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Were they good yesterday and today?
Exactly. PSG is kind of like the big one, I suppose. But so they lost in their first leg 3-2 to Barcelona. And I guess even I was thinking that Barcelona might wrap this thing up. And that was completely not the case. PSG just stormed back second leg. Huge 4-1 victory for a 6-4 aggregate. Barca is out of here. It was a wild match. Two red cards. Araujo was the first one.
Three red cards.
Who's the third? Oh, because PSG got one too.
Well, no. There are three red cards on Barcelona because the whoever stepped up for Xavi, he got a red card about 10 minutes after Xavi's red card.
About that.
So.
I was going to talk about Xavi. Yeah, so Xavi gets knocked out to the coach and. It was high drama, to say the least.
And
going to save them. It was pretty late at this point.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is that Barcelona scored first in this game, in the mm-hmm. game too. So that was four straight from PSG. All of them, obviously, after the red card. But that was a fun game to watch. This next one was also pretty goddamn fun to watch too.
It was kind of a similar situation, just in the sense that it was a comeback. Dortmund lose the first match at the first leg 2-1 to Atletico Madrid, and then come back in a big way 4-2, 5-4 aggregate. So they are moving on. So that's your first semifinal right there, PSG and Borussia Dortmund. Both these are great. They're very, very good semifinals.
They played in the group stage. Dortmund won at home. I think Drew at PSG. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and then on the other side, not as much high drama, I suppose. But you had Bayern who knock out Arsenal 3-2 aggregate. That match was 1-0, but 3-2 aggregate. Yeah, I know you guys aren't sad about that.
I loved Eric Dier and Harry Kane beating Arsenal. Yes. Arsenal, there's something. The funny thing is
finally,
Wes and I joked about this yesterday that both of the all of the English teams will get knocked out in this round. So while Tottenham fans are cheering against Arsenal causes England to not get that second spot. And then, which Tottenham will get in finishing fifth, and then they'll end up in the Europa League as opposed to Champions League. If they just cheered for Harry Kane, you know, against Harry Kane, you know, that would have been cheered for their arch rivals. Anyways, sorry.
You're good. 1-1 tie with Man City. Speaking of on the other English side, and Real Madrid, it goes all the way to PKs. 8-7 Real Madrid. This game was so freaking long. It just felt like a long, long match. But anyway, again, very tasty on that side. Bayern, Real Madrid, that could be the final. So I think however this plays out, whoever wins on both these two sides, I think it's going to be a great final. It's fun.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Oh, I agree. It's going to be a really entertaining semi and final.
Yeah, I'm cheering for Dortmund, but I get the sinking suspicion it's going to be PSG, Real Madrid, and Mbappe bowl in the final.
Yeah, for real.
Winner gets Mbappe. So.
Winner gets Mbappe. That's beautiful.
See how hard PSG and how hard Real Madrid play. The winner gets them for $120 million a year or whatever the hell he's going to cost. Right. So.
Wow, I love it. That's perfect narrative. Libertadores they're in their second round, third. I can't remember. It's pretty early.
Isn't this the group stage or?
Yeah, second round of the group stage. But I mean, okay. So it's early. But what's cool is it's wide open. It's really interesting if people are just kind of starting to tune in and pay attention. Brazilian teams are not doing well, which is never a bad thing because then it opens space for some of these other teams from other countries to take that space. The first one I'll highlight is Bolívar from Bolivia. They are the best team in all of the groups. They're top of Group E. That is a group that includes Flamengo. They have all 6 points right now with a +5 goal differential. So, you know, underdogs. I just love to see other teams get the shot. And then the other one, don't look this up yet, you two. I'll give you a clue. I'm doing the MJ thing. I'm going to play a little game here. So you probably don't know about Huachipato, and that's totally fine. They're a Chilean team. They have a common shield, and I want you – the clue I'm going to give you, you've probably seen it before, but the clue I'm going to give you is that they were founded and started – by steel workers in a steel company in Chile. What do you think their shield looks like, or perhaps has on it?
A pickaxe.
Okay, Dave?
A cannon?
All right, go ahead and look it up.
Which team is this?
Huachi, and then pato, like duck.
Oh, it's the fucking Steelers.
Yes.
I have seen that one before. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Nice.
Exactly. And they're doing well. They're top of Group C right now. So, I mean, again, all this space is opening for these to give opportunities for these other teams that usually don't get to shine. So it's kind of fun. Brasileirão, again, it's very early, but it's also interesting. Fortaleza is actually in first place, which I don't know if that's ever happened in first division. And I know Wes wants his St. Paul tournament of all the St. Paul or St. Pauli adjacent teams. Well, São Paulo Futebol Clube, they're in relegation right now. Again, very early, but also it's just kind of weird.
Right on. Cool. Well, thank you, Eric. That's always welcome to get some of that world football flavor. Cool. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up for the week, guys. Is there anything, Bridget, where can people follow you or read your stuff?
I am on Twitter and Blue Sky at BC McDowell. Northland Soccer Journal at Northland Soccer is the website for, we've got quite a few photographers, a few writers. We're going to have some MNUFC2 and Aurora and City and any other teams that we have time to go see. You can also find me camped out on the patio in a tent this summer at Black Art because it's closest to all of the stadiums.
That's true. I was looking, there's like several weeks at the end of May, beginning of June, where basically there's a professional soccer game every day except for like three, and most of them are here in the cities. So yeah, I'm just like, oh man, there's a lot of soccer to go watch. So
there's a weekend where beginning of June where I'm going down to Chicago to watch Aurora play at Dutch Lions, which is the one that they play at Loyola, so like actually in Chicago. I come back on Tuesday, which is the night that the U.S. women are playing at Allianz Field. At Thursday, Aurora is playing Rochester. I think that's at home.
It is.
And then play on Saturday, and then I think there's a Loons game one of those days, and Aurora too.
Yeah, Wednesday. I think Wednesday. There's a Loons game on Wednesday, it's a Minneapolis City game on Wednesday.
That's the one. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make sure you schedule your sleep and food in between. Yes. Bridget.
Lots of water. Start drinking lots of water now. I'm guessing that'll help.
You should. You should see the spreadsheet that we have for making sure that we have somebody doing something at all of these games.
Yeah.
And now it's just this never ending. Like you scroll and scroll and scroll.
Herding cats. So right. Cool. Eric, yeah. how about you? Where can people find you?
I'm Reach on out. Instagram. Yeah. At Eric SB Musica and at MN Football Show. Even though now we're Minnesota Football Daves or the greater Daves I Know universe. We almost need to like build a new one or work something in, but yeah, that's where I am for now.
We're figuring it out. So right on. Okay, cool. Well, you can read my Substack, davesiknow.substack.com. And in the middle, like I think I talked about last week, I'm in the middle of writing this piece about all the movies I've seen so far this year in the theater. I think I've seen, after this weekend, it'll be like 37 movies. Some of the same, like I saw Dune for like the fourth time, like a week ago.
What a masterpiece.
Got Godzilla X Kong.
Did you ended up seeing 3D, right?
I saw it in IMAX and I saw it in 3D. I was a little more awake for the 3D one. I think I hit my, Good. I hit, I took one too many gummies the first time because I fell asleep for like a good 10 minutes where I'm like, I was watching it and I was like, oh, I didn't remember this part of the movie. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't make any difference, but man, the plot of those movies is not great. And then I saw, so that same week I saw Godzilla Kong, something, something Empire. And then I saw the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire the same week. Mm. It was a good week for Empire movies.
Let me ask you, has the Japanese one come here yet? Cause I really want to see that one. I hear it's really
that good. One. Yeah. So it was here at the end of last year, Godzilla minus one.
Yeah. That's it.
I didn't go see it originally when it was originally in the theaters because it was in color, but then they brought it back in black and white. I think this was in like December, and holy shit, in black and white, that movie was amazing. I can't even imagine what it was like in color. So yeah, I don't think it's on any streaming services or anything like that. So
I don't think so.
You have to try and check that out. So okay. Well yeah. But yeah, I owe everybody that movie. I'm gonna turn this into a movie podcast, just FYI guys. So that's what our big pivot is, away from soccer into film.
Because I have
film in my heart. I don't know if you guys have film in your heart, but I have film in my heart. So
I enjoy the cinema.
I can find room for it in my
heart. All right. Yes. Okay. You can also hit us up at TDICMN. I'm also at Texas Zeller on Twitter and the Blue Sky. So thanks, Eric. Thanks, Bridget. You've been the Daves. This is the Daves. I know. In agreement now, but we have got to try.
try and work it out, cause we both know we can't do nothing at all. Oh, oh yeah.
We do our thing, son.
Long as you do yours, land here become feet, cun. Yeah.
We do our thing, son.
Through the act, we attract two, hope to reach one.
We do our thing.
Do it.
We do our thing, son.
Some will paint a piece, some will spray with a machine gun. It's mad work to be done.
We do our thing, son.
Y'all know we can't do nothing at all.